Welcome to My Resilient Life, the podcast, the place where we talk about overcoming, facing fears, and getting stronger in life. I'm your host, Coach D, a licensed clinical social worker and resilience coach based in Richmond, Virginia. My hope is that you will find our conversations helpful and meaningful. But remember, this is not to take the place of seeking professional help in your area. So now that we've met, let's talk. This is My Resilient Life. Hello, beautiful people, and welcome to episode 6 of My Resilient Life, the podcast. Here we are in the last week of 2021, and we continue to learn how life can have so many ups and downs, twists and turns, and a little bit of everything in between. But even after all of that, if you are listening right now, just know that you made it. You survived, and you live to see another day. You may have had to adapt to hard times, but you survived, and that alone deserves a celebration. So on today's episode, I got to have a conversation with my friend, life coach Tiffany. So listen in as we discuss some of the twists and turns in life she has survived. And just a disclaimer, this episode does reference suicidal thoughts. So be mindful that maintaining a safe space is always a priority for us. Let's listen in.
Hi, Ms. Dembris. How are you?
I'm doing well. Look, I've given you a nickname already.
Girl, it's all right. It is perfectly fine.
So I'm very excited. Me and Tiffany, let me give you a little bit of background. Me and Tiffany met a couple of weeks ago, and we were just having a great conversation about just life and her business venture as with wellness coaching and life coaching. I'm super excited. You'll hear more about that. But I thought that she would be a great guest on our show just to share her resilience story. So I invited her, and thank you so much for accepting the invitation. I know it can be a lot to, or it can trigger some vulnerability to share parts of you to the world.
Yeah.
You don't really have any control over that. So I appreciate you for taking the time to say, you know what, yeah, I'm going to do this. So
girl, no worries. Thank you for having me.
Well, let's start here. So for our listeners who don't know you, can you introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about you.
Sure. So, hey, everybody. My name is Tiffany Winfield. I'm originally from Danville, Virginia, a little small, little country town. But I moved up to Richmond once I graduated high school, attended VCU. I have two kids, a son and a daughter. My son is 11. My daughter is 5. And I am a part-time life coach. I work full-time for a Fortune 100 bank. And I am, my life coaching practice is Hey Friend Wellness and Coaching, where we help you discover your highest self through compassion, grace, gratitude, and wellness.
Wow. So, like so many hats, right? You got
yes.
Mom, yes. Employee, business owner, boss, like you're juggling a lot. Which is not typical of the average woman.
Right. mm-hmm. Exactly.
So I get it.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this, because in just dealing with life in itself, of course, things in life still continue to happen. And we have to adjust and deal with things as they come. So how would you, if you had to summarize, like what would be the theme of your resilience story and why?
Girl, let me tell you, when people ask me this, I say therapy, wine, and Jesus.
Yeah.
And the t-shirt is coming soon.
Yes.
Three, therapy, wine, and Jesus not only saved my life, but it saved other people's lives. You hear me?
Yeah.
Man, I've been doing therapy, I think now probably almost going on 4 years. It really started at the beginning of my separation with my husband. Mm-hmm. And that right there, like the separation I was going through, a divorce I was going through My mom has dementia as well as some other health issues, and we were in the process of moving her into a nursing facility. And at the same time, my sister had been diagnosed with stage 5 kidney failure, and she was on dialysis and needed a kidney, which I could not give her a kidney because kidney disease runs in our family, so I was not a candidate for that, so that messed me up there. And then also over the last 2-3 years, we've been going through this doggone thing called COVID. So with right. all those things put together, therapy, wow. wine, and Jesus.
I'm sure some of our listeners can relate to because, you know, just being able to hold on to what you can, you know, I love that. Mm-hmm. Therapy, wine, and Jesus. And I'm waiting
yes,
for the t-shirt.
I'm designing them right now.
Well, let me ask you this, Tiffany, because I want to start with one of the things that you had shared that you were going through, which triggered a lot of things, which was the first thing, which was going through the separation or going through the divorce, which I have met plenty of women who have gone through separations and gone through divorces, and those things can get pretty ugly, depending on the emotions that are attached and, you know, just how the overall situation affects a person. So can you tell us a little bit about, like, how did your separation or your divorce, how did that impact you emotionally?
Well, I'm going to say this first. It had more of a mental impact on me. Mm-hmm. I went through types of different mental episodes, so to speak. I had anxiety. I had depression. I now have PTSD. My depression and my anxiety caused my body to physically feel pain. Like mm-hmm. the depression was so heavy that my back would hurt, my chest would hurt, my head would hurt. The mm-hmm. anxiety, I was literally like sit at a table and just shake. My hands would just shake. My legs would shake. It was awful. Emotionally, I felt like, okay, nobody's ever going to love me again. I'm worthless. I'm not worth anything. I am a disgrace to myself and my family, especially growing up in the South and growing up in my mom's household, because I grew up in a single parent household. She had expectations of us. We mm-hmm. graduate high school. We go to college. We find us a nice man. We get married, have babies, and live happily ever after. So that story didn't happen. I felt like such a failure, like literally. Mm-hmm. And it took such a toll on my body, mentally, physically, emotionally, to the point where I could not get out of bed. And there were times where I woke up the next day and was mad at God for waking me up because I did not want to wake up. There were times where I prayed, God, I don't want to wake up. I don't want to get through today. But again, with therapy, wine, and Jesus, I will never forget the day. It was probably a few months ago where I actually woke up and I said, thank you, Jesus, for waking up. It had been a long time where I was actually thankful for waking up the next morning.
Yes, for that breakthrough moment. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm glad you tied in, Tiff, about, you know, just how it's not just a one layer thing, how an event that happens mm-hmm. not just happens on like a one layer, like it just emotionally, like how it affects mm-hmm. how something that is traumatic or just distressing causes a lot of stress can affect us on so many layers, like emotionally, physically, mentally, and spiritually. Yeah. I got a question for you because one of the things you said, well, now, you talked about how mm-hmm. you know, you experienced your breakthrough moments, but throughout this mm-hmm. process, like, what were some of your inside conversations like? How did you talk to yourself, either from the beginning or just to get you through to your breakthroughs?
My started off, the conversations with myself were bad. Like, I call them my dark moments, my dark mm-hmm. places, like, where I just, you know, I wasn't worth a damn. Honestly, I wasn't worth a damn. I could not have conversations with myself on a positive level. It literally took, if it wasn't for my family my close friends, my cousin and my sister and my close friends, if it wasn't for them talking me through this process, telling me that I am worthy, constantly putting that self, placing self-love in me, pulling me up out of a ditch. Like I was in a ditch. I was in a hole. And those people around me, my support system, they didn't just reach their hand in the ditch. They jumped in that ditch with me and said, Huffa, we getting your ass up out of here. We getting you up out of here. And in those moments, having those interactions with those people, seeing that people actually care about you and love you, you begin to now speak love to yourself, right? Like you start to say, now I am worthy. You know, this happened. It's okay. It happens to the best of us. I wasn't the first, and I'm not going to be the last. And I can get through it. And it took a lot of self-care and what my therapist calls 24/7 self-care, doing something for yourself at least 30 minutes a day to care for yourself, whether it's reading a book or just meditating. For me, it was my long hot showers. I love taking long hot showers. Yeah, I also meditate. Girl, yes, I just stand in the shower and I'm just like, ooh, thank you, Jesus. Girl, and I got my little speaker in the shower so I can listen to my gospel music, listen to my podcast. I just love my shower. But yeah, girl, it was those moments where, you know, those around me spoke life into me. And I couldn't talk to my mama because my mom, although she's physically here, she's not 100% mentally here, right? She knew that I was going through my divorce. She knew that I was going through something. She would call me and she could hear the sadness or the depression in my voice. And she would say, Tiffany, just talk to God like you talk to me. And when I had those moments, I would remember my mama saying, just talk to God like you talk to me. And my breakthrough moment, I will never forget. I had to talk to myself and talk to God so hard. And I'll put this out here, and I am fully transparent about this. I have tried to commit suicide more than one time. Mm-hmm. My first time, I was 16. The second time was in college. And then again, here, going through my divorce and everything with my mom and my sister. This last time, I was in my bathroom, on my bathroom floor. I was crying, snotting, sniveling, just doing everything. And the pill bottles were right there. Mm-hmm. But I heard my mama's voice. Just talk to God like you talk to me. Dembers, when I say I became a hard damn praying woman that night, I just talked to God and I talked to him and talked to him and talked to him. And the funny thing is, Zembris, I got up off that floor, I laid in my bed, and probably a couple of hours passed by. I got a text message from a girlfriend that I hadn't talked to in a while. She knew that I was going through a divorce. She knew my sister was sick, but I hadn't really talked to her. She texted me out the blue and was just like, Tiff, are you okay? I said, look at God.
Yes.
If that ain't God.
Take the message. Yes.
Yes. Yes. And this is like 12 o'clock at night. She just randomly texts me. I say all this to say, when you can't depend on talking to yourself and getting yourself out of a situation, it is people around you who want to wholeheartedly help you. And they genuinely love you and genuinely want to help you. And I always grew up like, no, you don't tell nobody your problems. My mom always said, you know, what happens in that house stays in the house. You don't tell nobody what's going on, which is hence why I never went to therapy in the first place, because we ain't talk about our problems.
Right.
But
right.
that mindset had to disappear. That mindset had to go out the window. When I was at my lowest point, I had to depend on my friends and family to get in that ditch with me and pull me out.
Wow. I just have chills listening after having this conversation. One, because
of your transparency and your willingness to be vulnerable. And I know it takes a lot of courage and to do that, and it takes being at a healed place. So I celebrate you for wins that you've accomplished so far, and just the wins and the breakthroughs that are coming for you, just for being able to be transparent and share this with other people. Wow. So let me ask you this, because we covered or touched on a couple of different things, and I know there was a lot of transitions happening for you between the separation, then having to adjust to like co-parenting, putting your mom in the nursing home, like you said, and then dealing with your sister's diagnosis. How did you adjust to all of those transitions happening within a short amount of time?
Oh, girl, it was so hard. It was so hard because literally all those things probably happened in a span of like 6 to 9 months. And I didn't at the time, I didn't have time to adjust. I just had to just do. I had to just keep going and keep moving. And that's, I should not have done that, honestly, because my therapist had told me, Tiffany, you need to sit. And when she said that, it wasn't just sit and be still. It was, I need to feel what's going on. I need to feel those emotions. But I didn't want to. I didn't want to feel the emotions from my divorce. I did not want to feel the emotions from my sister needing a kidney. I didn't want to feel the emotions of having to put my mom in a nursing home. It was too much to handle. I didn't want to feel having to sell the only childhood home that I've known for the last 39 years and had to put that up on the market to sell. I did not want to do any of that. And that's when it eventually caught up to me, when I had like my final breakdown where I literally could not move. It was a, and like I said, I don't suggest that to anybody. The thing that I've learned is when you are going through something that is traumatic, we don't want to process our feelings. We don't want to feel that trauma, but it is important to sit there and feel all the feels because eventually, it's going to catch up with you and it's going to bite you in the butt and it's going to come hard.
For sure. For sure. You remind me when you were talking about that. I've had a conversation before with another guest on our on the podcast where it talks about how busyness or just keep continuing to just keep moving and keep doing something is not that it's always a bad thing, but it becomes a defense mechanism. Like, and it's like him being in survival mode. Like, just in order for me to just get to the next day, I just have to keep doing something. I have to keep myself busy because, like you said, pausing and just feeling it feels overwhelming. It can feel overwhelming. It can feel like it can overtake you. So, what strength did you discover about yourself through all of this?
Girl, I discovered so much. So much. Because to give you a little bit more background about me, I had been with my ex-husband since I was 18. And here I am, 39, okay? And my divorce was official December of last year. So I had been with my ex since I was 18. I had never lived on my own by myself. That was the most scariest thing. When I had to move out and buy a place by myself, oh, Jesus, it scared the you-know-what out of me. Yes! Girl, I underestimated myself. I underestimated everything about my, I would say, my womanhood. I underestimated everything. And when I say that to say, and I hate to be cliche saying you don't need a man, but I don't need a man to buy this house. I bought my own house, Jembris. No down payment needed. Credit score on fleek. I bought this house by myself. Yay. I didn't need nobody for nothing. Honey, I learned how to install my ceiling fans. I am an electrician now. I am also a general contractor, okay? I am a plumber. I learned so much about myself. I am now a businesswoman. When you're put into a situation where you have to, it's like the mama bird pushes the little bird out of the nest and like go fly.
Yeah.
honey, I had to fly. I was flying. And I would have never thought in a million years that I would be installing a ceiling fan, that I'll be buying a house on my own, living by myself, and being perfectly fine, not living paycheck to paycheck. I was so afraid. I was so afraid to move out on my own. I was like, oh, my God, I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to make it. But here I am doing perfectly fine. I am not living paycheck to paycheck. I have now two businesses. I'm working a full-time job. I'm, like you said earlier, I co-parent with my kids. And that co-parenting thing, let's touch on that in a little while, but that co-parenting, that was a hard adjustment in the beginning. But now I'm doing the damn thing. It is just I have learned that I am superwoman. I don't need a man, but at the same time, when I say I don't need a man, it does help to have a man around to do those things. So I don't want to have to be my own electrician for the rest of my life.
Right.
But if push comes to shove, I can handle my own.
Yeah. And you know what? It's like you said, like, you never know what has to be pulled out of you unless you're being put in those situations. Who knew that you could be an electrician or a gamer if you hadn't been put in those situations to do that? You know, so that is just so inspiring to know that it is light on the other side of darkness.
Mm-hmm. It is. And it's so funny you say that. It's funny you say that because, like I said earlier, I always call those moments where I had those huge mental breakdowns. Mm-hmm. I'll call those my dark moments. And finding the light is the hardest thing to do. And that's why I opened my life coaching business, because I want ladies, women that are going through or have gone through the same thing that I've gone through, I want them to know that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. You're not the first person to go through divorce, and you damn sure won't be the last. But there is a light at the end of the tunnel.
So let me ask you this, because like you touched on before, you said from your struggles and from your life challenges, that's where your coaching business was birthed and it was established. So what do you hope the listeners from today's episode, what do you hope they'll gain from hearing your story?
Yes, and I'm glad you said that word birthed, because when I talk about my wellness and coaching business, I say that, hey, friend, is hey and F-R-E-N. Hey, friend was birthed from a place of healing. It was birthed from a place of friendship. It was birthed from a place of depression, anxiety, the lack of self-love, the lack of self-confidence. So much comes from hey, friend. And hey, friend, those words, that's what my best friend and I, shout out to my bestie, Donna Jo. I call her Donna Jo, but her name is Leanne. Hey, Leanne. During the time that I was going through all this, she would text me like, hey, friend. And I knew when she texted me, hey, friend, it was like, how you doing, girl? What do you need? You know, let's talk. What's going on? So anytime it was, hey, friend, I knew that that was a safe space to be myself and to be able to articulate all the feels that I was feeling, everything that was going on. It was a safe space to be vulnerable, be my authentic self. And I want the listeners to know that Hey Friend Wellness and Coaching is a place where you can be vulnerable. You can be your authentic self. This is a no judgment zone. Whether you're going through a divorce, you know, you're changing careers, you are going through some other type of trauma, this is a place where we want to help you get through and help you discover your higher self again through grace, compassion, and gratitude and wellness.
Yeah, it goes back to tying it into you don't have to suffer in silence, and you don't have to carry the burden alone. And that's so necessary to understand, you know, especially when we can feel like the weight of the world is on our shoulders. When you have somebody, like you said, that is willing to either stand beside you to help carry the load, or like you said earlier, get down in the hole, not just throw me a rope and say, hey, grab the
right.
Like,
get down in the hole with me.
Yes.
It makes it so much more inspiring that I can do this, you know, tapping into that strength that you can't reach for yourself at that time. So I love that.
Exactly.
I love that you shared, you were vulnerable and you were transparent today with our listeners and just sharing your story. I'm sure somebody somewhere needed to hear exactly what you had to say for today. And so thank you for sharing, because that's how we get better. You know, that's how we connect, knowing that it's not just me. You know?
Right.
So let me ask you, how can you be reached? How can people, if they want to follow up with you, where can they find you?
Yes. So you can find me on Instagram at @OH_HEY_FREN. So Oh Hey Friend on Instagram. My life coaching, you can find me at OhHeyFriend.com. And I also have my Hey Friend Creations webpage, where we specialize in promoting self-love and 24/7 self-care. So on that site right now, we are, again, like you heard me earlier say, that showers, that's my self-care. So I make my own aromatherapy shower steamer. So I'm selling shower steamers and other self-care products and self-love products on that website. So three avenues, Instagram and my two websites.
Nice. Connect with life coach Tiffany. Let me tell you, I'm ready to place my order for these shower steamers, because I see them on Instagram. I'm like, oh, that's me. I need to place my order today. We'll talk about this.
Yes, girl. Yes, and I'm making some new ones today too.
Tiffany, thank you so much for showing up today. I appreciate you. Thank you for spending a little bit of time with me. Do you have any final words that you want to share with our listeners?
Thank you for this avenue that you have to allow people to be vulnerable, because there is healing in vulnerability. And again, I just want everyone to know that you might think you are okay handling things on your own, but there's always somebody out there that's willing to jump in that ditch with you. Whether you know it or not, there's somebody willing to jump in that ditch with you and boost you up out of there.
And that's right. Note that you don't have to suffer in silence, and you don't have to carry burdens alone. Get the support you need and the support that you deserve. Thanks for tuning in today. And as always, keep living a resilient life.